Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
All of this brings Jesus censure. If he had praised Ephesus for their maintenance of sound church discipline, he is faulting this congregation at Pergamum for their lax discipline in doctrine and practice. He summons them to change.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Previously, we considered the second of the letters that Jesus sends, the letter to Smyrna, about which, remember, we know a little bit given the letters of St. Ignatius and St. Polycarp, who was bishop in that selfsame city. Jesus reminded them first that he was the first and last, the one who died and now lives forevermore. Hence, he holds out to this small, poor, suffering church the promise of resurrection. He reminds them he knows their tribulation and their poverty, but he reminds them of the fact that they're really rich in him because they have all things in him. Hey, when your brother is the Lord of the universe, you're really in a very sweet position, whether the world knows it or not. And he also knows the way they are being slandered by the Jews who rejected Jesus and the good news about him. They trash talk not just Jesus, but any who sided with him and sought to spread his joyous gospel. Jesus says they're really just a synagogue of Satan, not real Jews at all, because they had definitively rejected him, the Messiah sent to save them. He tells the congregation in Smyrna to hang tight and not to be afraid. It's been bad, going to get worse. He speaks of jail time for some of them, that they may be tested, which is always the testing of their faith, not of their willpower. Yet he sets a limited time for all this, 10 days, as in, it's not going to be forever, folks, and it's all under my control. Stay the course, get through it by my grace. Hence, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We heard how Bishop Polycarp did exactly that and was faithful all the way to his martyrdom, trusting in Jesus' promise. He invites them to use their ears and so be conquerors, unhurt even by the second death, the fires of hell. Moving on, a reading from Revelation, the second chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Revelation 2, verses 12 through 17. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, you ready to ponder today's reading from Revelation? Let's get into it. Verse 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamum, write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. Pergamum was about 50 miles north of Smyrna. To my mind, that's like the trip from Fredericksburg, Virginia, up to Washington, D.C. It had once been the capital city of the province of Asia, and it was still famous for its huge library, its numerous pagan shrines, and above all, as the place where in 29 BC, the Roman cult of the Emperor Augustus took off. It also had a pretty famous school of medicine. Jesus identifies himself here as the one who has the sharp two-edged sword, which, recall, proceeded from his mouth, thus the speaker of the words of God that accomplish what they say. Verse 13, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. In the other letters, he speaks of knowing what his people have gone through. But here he starts not with what, but with where. The place where Satan has his throne. This is a reference to the imperial cult. The pressure to conform on this was enormous. If you threw the pinch of incense before the statue of the emperor and swore by the luck of Caesar, they would let you live. If you refused, well, they could kill you or imprison you. Yet the people there in Pergamum had withstood. They held fast to the holy name of Jesus, in which they had been baptized, and by which they knew they had access to the Father, and they did not deny my faith. My faith. That little word my is important. It's much like what Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, what? Faith in, but more literally, faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We live by the faith of Christ. We trust in what he trusted in. We hope for what he hoped. We've pitched our lot in with him, and so we can't bow to the emperor's demands when they conflict with Jesus, even if that means death. As it did to Antipas, about whom we know only that Jesus highly regarded this man, who was killed by the satanic-inspired persecution, probably as a warning, as an example to the others. The officials figured that if they saw one die, they might all cave in and conform. But no. The Christians in Pergamum held fast to the name of Jesus. They did not yield. Verse 14, but I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. Verse 15, so also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Johann Gerhard, that greatest of the Lutheran teachers in the 17th century, thinks these are actually related things. It's holding the teaching of the Nicolaitans that led to the comparison with how Balaam taught Balak to ensnare the Israelites in the matter of Baal of Peor. If you can't win against them militarily, seduce them with your women. Numbers 25, verses 1 to 3. While Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. In Numbers 31, verse 16, behold, these, on Balaam's advice, caused the people of Israel to act treacherously against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and so the plague came among the congregation of the Lord. In a similar way, there were some folks there in the congregation of Pergamum who taught that sexual license was not a problem, that forgiveness meant they didn't really need to worry about such things, and that they were actually free to participate in the idol worship, even if only by eating food offered to the false gods. All of this brings Jesus censure. If he had praised Ephesus for their maintenance of sound church discipline, he is faulting this congregation at Pergamum for their lax discipline in doctrine and practice. He summons them to change. Verse 16. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. When Jesus comes soon, that invokes his glorious appearing. And on that day, you do not want your Jesus to be coming to you as your enemy, but as your friend, as your deliverer. But if we make peace with sin and embrace it, we'll end up finding his strong word, not bringing us to deliverance, but judgment. Hence, repent. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Same pattern as before. The Spirit and Jesus speak with one voice to the churches. The promise to the one who conquers is quite interesting. I will give him some of the hidden manna. Gerhard again. I will make him a partaker of the heavenly goods that are reserved for the saints in heaven, just as an omer of manna was reserved in the tabernacle. Now, this could also be a reference simply to the Lord's Supper, in which our Lord's body and blood, the true heavenly manna, the heavenly bread, they're hidden beneath the appearance of bread and wine. Now, I will give him a white stone is particularly intriguing given this passage from Ovid's Metamorphoson. Ovid, by the way, was a Roman poet during the reign of Augustus. He writes, "The custom was to use old stones, both black and white. The defendants were condemned with the former, while they were absolved from their guilt by the latter." Gerhard comments, "The sense is that he who overcomes will be absolved from sin, the curse of the law, and eternal damnation. Christ will also confess him on the day of judgment. The new name that no one knows except the one who receives the innocent verdict is the name child of God, citizen of heaven, joint heir with Christ, and so on." And that's where we're going to call a halt for today, people loved by God. Next up, we listen in on Christ's words to the bishop and church of Thyatira. That was the city, as you might recall, from Acts 16:14, where Lydia hailed from. It was famous for its manufacture of purple cloth. And not surprisingly, we read in Acts that that was Lydia's business. The emperor cult was also very lively there, and the moral life of the congregation in that city seemed to be quite a mess, almost as bad as Corinth. Christ will speak some stern words to call them back to repentance and good order, and he will urge them to hold fast until I come. He promises the one who conquers will be given authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, just as he has received authority from his Father. Think Matthew 28:19 and following. He promises that he will deliver to the one who overcomes the morning star. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.